Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's the Drink Talking with the Thinking Drinkers, Ben McFarland and Tom Sandon, and Mistress of Wine, Sam Capon. All the booze news and views, from Absinthe to Zinfandel. Do try this at home.
Hello and welcome to this week's It's the Drink Talking with myself, Sam Capon, Master of Wine, and my two comrades at arms, Tom.
Hello.
And Ben.
Hello.
The wonderful Thinking Drinkers.
How are you doing? All right?
Very well, actually. I am feeling perky. The sun is shining. It's good.
You? Good. Yeah, all right, I guess, you know.
Looking forward to Valentine's Day?
Well, we're going to be talking about that a little bit.
Well, now, actually.
Oh, really?
This is my segue in.
Our wives, okay. Aren't we? Yeah. We will be, on the actual day, we will be in...
Mexico.
So, listen, I want to talk about that. Who are you going with?
Ocho Tequila is the brand, yeah. But it's made by a guy called Carlos Camarena, who's a tequila legend, so hopefully we'll try a lot of his
tequilas. So is it a press
tequilas.
Trip?
Yes, it is. We are going as journalists, but yeah. We're also going... For a week. Yep. We're also going to Oaxaca.
Oaxaca,
which is where mezcal comes from. So, you know,
yes, that's very interesting. I like that.
And so that'll be really interesting because it's not easy to get a trip to mezcal. So we're going with a company called Cask Marketing, who we work with on our hobo beers. So we make the hobo beer, which you can buy in cans.
And hobo East Coast cider as
and
well.
Cider, yes, Ben, yeah. And,
so what
we
day
work
are you off?
Them.
When are you off?
My mum's birthday. So, I'm going away. I'm leaving my wife and kids for a week. Leaving on my mum's birthday.
Which
and
is the what date?
The 11th. Happy birthday, mum.
Sunday, yeah.
And then we're missing Valentine's. So, I can safely say that this trip has gone down like a shit sandwich
it really
in my house.
Is.
And how did this trip go down in the Sandham household?
Yeah, equally well. It helped, I think, by the fact that we're doing back-to-back shows on the Friday and Saturday. Luton and Reading listeners, still some tickets for Luton, possibly. So there's Friday night, Saturday night, where the wife has to do bedtime with the two sprogs, and then I go away for a week. And I added to the mix by not telling my wife about those shows. I just forgot.
In your defence, they are available on our website. They have been noted.
If my
there.
Wife doesn't take an interest in what I do. The other thing is I can say what I like here because she doesn't even listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Sacrilege.
Yes. Sacrilege.
I mean, I try as well. When she's asleep, I put earphones in. So subliminally, she has to hear this.
So basically, the only person he does is my husband.
No,
who
your
gets
wife
constantly
does.
Slack.
Yeah, Ben's wife does, and she's going to really enjoy
good.
This element of the show.
She's often saying, it's a bit boring, isn't it?
She's not.
No, she says it's all right.
Yeah, my husband loves mine. Oz, the Oz. Podcast.
Oh, I see, right.
I thought we were going somewhere else. We weren't.
No. Okay, well, I'm going to crack on with spit and swallow.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, we touched on it briefly. I'm also not going to be around for Valentine's. I'm going away. And my husband works away from home anyway, so that's no big deal. But you know what? Generally, my spit is Valentine's Day. I think it's a total load of wank.
And, okay. Depending on whether you've got a partner or not.
I think it's shit if you're single, it's shit if you're in a couple. And actually, I read something really funny the other day. It was, I never know how to say her name properly, Caitlin Moran. And you know, she does Celebrity Watch in the Times. It's really funny. And she did these, the top 10. And that guy, Liam Payne, who's in One Direction and who's Cheryl's, I don't know what her surname is at the moment.
The father of her child.
Yeah. The father of their child, Bear. And he was basically...
They call Bear.
The child is called Bear.
There's two things there. I mean, if he turns out to be a homosexual, that's brilliant. Assuming he's a big gay bear.
Ian. I'm sorry. We can't say that, can we?
Why not? That's a thing, isn't it? It's like a...
I've never heard that before.
You know, a big gay bear is part of the scene.
And then Liam Payne, who is the father of Bear, who is his and Cheryl, whatever her current surname is, son, he said recently something like, oh, it's like Valentine's Day every day in our household. And the wonderful Callum Moran basically went, and, you know, I didn't see this as a positive. He obviously meant that, you know, because they're so romantic and maybe there's flowers and there's candles. And she was just like, right, so basically you can't get a fucking babysitter, go out to restaurants constantly where people have got nothing to say to each other. You're paying more for whatever you want. You get ripped off, you get rushed. I saw some beautiful flowers being advertised in a high street retailer at the weekend in their magazine. And it was £175 for a bunch of flowers. And they did look gorgeous. They had, there's some roses in there and whatnot. But it's, boys, what, how big is that?
Never ask for
average.
Never ask for average.
It's quite a big bunch, but not ridiculous. And it was, it's £175. And actually, this is a classic. I got a press release through recently. One second.
Digging around for press releases. Radio Gold.
From a champagne house that has a wonderful rosé. And again, it's like Valentine's Day is fast approaching. And what better way to celebrate than with a glass of rosé? And so again, it's a really time of year to kind
it's
of...
just a lazy... It's a lazy...
and whatnot. Yeah. So Valentine's Day is my spit. But also... I love champagne. I really love champagne. And I love English sparkling wines as well. But rosé champagne's so expensive.
Is it?
And it's significantly more expensive than the Brut non-vintage alternative. And I just think, you know, the whole thing about Valentine's Day, it's just such a waste of money. The pressure to buy a card, to buy... I forbid my husband to buy me flowers. I don't want them. I don't spend that much money.
There's no spontaneity. Yeah. Mm. I mean, running down to, like, the Esso to get a card and some... Yeah.
I always make mine.
You make your cards?
Yeah, I always make them.
Mm. Oh, I see. The card for the flowers. Yeah.
Do you really?
No. I agree. Spit on Valentine's Day. Don't swallow.
In fact,
What, are you thinking whether you spit or swallow on Valentine's Day historically?
No, I made a really nice Valentine's Day card ages ago and I was trying to think who I gave it to.
But do you know what else is creeping in? This is less drink related.
I can't remember if it was my husband or not.
When I was at university, I was doing just what we were saying. I was rummaging around like a co-op or something like that.
Spitting on Valentine's Day.
No. I was desperately trying to look for a card and I found this shit-looking card. But I also thought, well, I'm here now. I might as well do some shopping. And I bought some... milk and bread and eggs. And
that's not very romantic.
No.
It's not pancake day.
But then, this was when I was living in Brighton, and I was at the checkout, and I saw that the egg said "laid in Sussex." So I said, "Dear, whatever her name was, won't tell you what it was."
And you can make a name up. Yeah, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, Brian.
Sandra.
No, it said, "Dear, happy Valentine's. Come and get." And then I put a lady, I took the egg, put
it
in.
I like it.
I was quite pleased with that.
I thought I'd do it every year.
And now I cannot find a box of eggs.
That says laid in Sussex.
That's not saying.
Also, I live in West London.
So
it's not going to be saying until. So that was just, you know, the stars aligned.
Most of those eggs are laid in a cage. But that's not quite as sexy, is it?
No. So just to wrap mine up.
And the last thing she wanted was fertilised eggs, anyway.
So Valentine's Day. And also don't get sucked into spending lots of money on doing really expensive champagne.
I won't get sucked into anything on Valentine's, that's for sure.
Could you get a sparkling wine or champagne and turn it into rosé by mixing it with a drop of red.
Well, that is actually what they do for rosé champagne.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. Can you do that?
So, yeah, for rosé champagne, even the posh ones, that's
You're a genius, Ben. Yeah, you should tell them.
No, but I mean, if you bought a nice, really nice bottle of champagne and then mixed a little dollop of Echo Falls.
Or just raspberry cordial.
Yeah. I think that's Rabina. Called a Kir Royale, isn't it? You know, yeah, or Bellini. So, yes, obviously, you can whack stuff in sparkling wine and make it sweeter. I would suggest that.
Did you know that Echo Falls have released a vodka? A mixed berry vodka?
Yeah, no.
They have. So there you go. Yeah.
I'm going to move on to my swallow, which then basically is, as an alternative to spending loads of money and getting all kind of wrapped up in the whole
nonsense.
Of Valentine's Day, everyone's stood a bit skint in February, just maybe go with a cheaper alternative. There's plenty on the market. If your wallet can't stretch to a champagne, and particularly a pink champagne, because they are really expensive. I mean, you've got some gorgeous ones like Billicar Salmon, but that's sort of £60. Even the top English sparkling wines are looking at, you know, £30+. So basically, lots of alternatives. Are you guys watching McMafia?
I am.
I haven't watched it. I was quite interested. I turned it on and I saw the dude who's the lead, and I just
thought, James Norton.
They've pitched this guy clearly to market him as the next Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was all over the papers. This is the next Bond. I think this is so hot.
What I love about that series is the chemistry between him and his missus. I sit there with Sophie and we're like, why can't we have a relationship like that? It seems like sort of Harold Pinter play.
Where they don't really talk to each other. I said that to Ed the other day. I was like, you know what, I'm really enjoying this because I like all the baddies are really well drawn, but the two main characters are so boring.
Well, she's
Rebecca's so pious and boring.
She's the stepdaughter of Mark Rylance.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. And she's been in loads of good stuff.
Yeah.
But she's supposed to be, she's cast as this, you know, really successful pioneering woman. And she just, it's like
no
such
personality.
A weak.
She just lets
him fuck her around
so much. Yeah.
But anyway, it's strangely shit, but watchable.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. But it's anyway, do you remember the scene where the Russian daughter living in England, the Russian daughter, and they were celebrating the engagement?
She
goes, Daddy, this is Carver. What are you doing serving Carver? Get the proper stuff out. And I just thought, you know what? Valentine's Day, you can serve a bloody Carver.
Well, of course. Yeah. I recently was asked to speak on BBC Radio West Midlands about the Prosecco, booming Prosecco. Yeah. And I don't know much about Carver, but it's got some fairly strict guidelines. It's actually quite good quality gear, isn't it?
Basically, Carver is made in the same way as champagne. Instead of being made in a champagne region in France, it's made in Spain, and it is made in the same method, the traditional champagne method. So it's got the whole yeast autolysis. It's generally made from different grapes, but increasingly it does have some Chardonnay in it. Those grapes are quite distinctive, so they, you know, it does taste different. So my swallow really is sparkling wine, but you don't have to always equate sparkling wine with champagne. There's lots of brilliant English sparkling wines. A guy I know has an amazing English sparkling wine from Sussex called Hoffman and Rathbone, which is excellent, particularly the pink, which I know contradicts what I was saying before, but if you did want a pink, go for that. And then obviously you've got Carver as a cheap alternative. You've got Prosecco as a cheap alternative. That's made in a tank method from the Glera grape, so it's much more kind of fruity and lively, a little bit sweeter.
Am I right in thinking as well with Prosecco, there is a, it sort of follows closer to the champagne method?
No, not at all.
Is there is like a DOCG though, isn't there?
Well, there's, yeah,
Prosecco, so that's a bit of a step up in terms of quality.
Yeah, so you can get Prosecco that's DOCG and that is a smarter Prosecco, so it might be a little bit more sort of dry and sort of serious, I guess. And then obviously you've got Italian sparkling wines, and if you want something sweet, if you wanted to have like a special breakfast or some pudding or something, a Moscato d'Asti is absolutely delicious, something different. And then also what I brought as well to just talk about is, which is something quite new, I think you can get them in Tesco and Sainsbury's for a couple of quid. You can even get sparkling Pinot Grigio in a can for £2, and it's actually Hungarian Pinot Grigio.
I have to say, we first opened this before we started recording, and the first mouthful was
pretty much
dreadful. But I've gone back to this a couple of times, and actually it's really improving. And we always say with beer in a can, don't drink it directly from the can. It tastes of metal because you're drinking it from the can. But actually, if you pour it out, it starts to open up a bit. And you get some of the aromas, smell being one of the most important things about tasting anything. You need to use your nose. So actually, it's all right, isn't it? I've changed my opinion completely.
There's nothing wrong with this. It's sparkling Pinot Grigio, so it's carbonated. Mm. It's not meant to be a complex beverage, but it's a nice colour. Yeah. It's got good bubbles. You know, Pinot Grigio is notoriously like slightly neutral.
And what's the ABV, just bearing in mind, if you are married on Valentine's, you might want to have a few drinks.
11.5%.
There you go.
But I think it's quite nice. It's got lots of pear. I mean, basically, I don't think it's a million miles away from Prosecco.
Right.
To my mind. What do you think?
I like it now. I was against it to start with, but no, that's...
Lots of pear, lots of peach. And it's, so yeah, it's basically... It's
complex.
If anyone wants to try anything slightly different, it's called Pinot Pinot. And it's Pinot Grigio sparkling in a quite a striking can, which is black can with a gold writing on it. Give it a go.
You know, when it comes to wine choices, you know how much I like a cheap wine. So,
well, there you go. This is still
ticking my boxes.
I mean, so basically, my swallow is value wines for Valentine's for those who are still skint.
Thanks, Sam.
Excellent.
And now, Ben, you look like you have got a couple of quite...
I have to say, Ben's opened two beers, and they are lively and...
They've both been spewing. I just say, that was really undeserved.
Spewing foam.
Okay, that is really, really undeserved, because they've been sat there, not moving, and I've opened both of them, and they've both spilled over onto my jeans.
I've moved them away from the electrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, bothered.
Oh, here we go, I've got some napkins.
Oh, je m'appelle. Hang on.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to It's the Drink Talking.
You have two lively looking beers there. What have you got for us this week?
Well, I've taken it to a new level this week. And having slagged off Valentine's and talked about how champagne is the chosen drink.
Or fizz.
Or fizz for Valentine's, I'm going to suggest that we can save money and... you can save a lot of money, and also you can do it better, an element of surprise, by celebrating Valentine's with beer. And I've not only brought beer in, I brought some food pairings. When I say pairings, I mean pairing. There's only one thing I brought in, and I've got a big plate of asparagus here, listeners.
Did you cook it yourself at home?
Well, no, I brought it in into the offices of Seven Digital, where we record this inverted commas podcast, and they've got a kitchen, but they haven't got any kitchen implements. So what we've done is we've stuck them in a carafe and put some boiling water on them.
Two things, to be fair, asparagus need 2 minutes.
It's fine.
And secondly, to be fair, this is an office.
I mean, it is an office.
I like them. Have a full working kitchen.
Well, they have a kitchen, don't they? They've got
cups and coffee.
Right. So anyway, I've dipped it in butter and I've melted some butter.
And you're
so
wanging that butter over us.
All right. So here we go.
You made a greasy splurge all over my paperwork.
All right. So what I'm saying here is beer.
This is a mess.
Like Valentine's, doesn't matter. It's like
all my Valentines.
It is all over.
Mucky scene.
So beer is an aphrodisiac.
Right.
Okay. Well,
alcohol is, but beer is an aphrodisiac. We've talked about how the whole beer goggles thing, that is an actual thing. How if you drink, people's faces become more symmetrical, and therefore you find them more attractive. Objects become more attractive.
Pair of shoes get more attractive.
Yeah. Pair of shoes get more attractive.
Objects.
The ladies, inanimate kittens, objects. Chocolate.
Painting.
The whole lot. So... the first person to write about hops in brewing was a nun. We've talked about this before. She was also the first person ever to write about the fictional female orgasm.
Is
as
that,
well.
Hilda
Garbingen. Yeah. We talked about her. So there's a link between beer and hanking panking historically. So I'm suggesting that instead of having champagne and all that nonsense over...
Do you mean uncooked?
A little al dente, perhaps.
Is it al dente?
Slightly
but
cold.
But you like it firm?
Yeah. I mean, a firm one. It's delicious.
Firm yet flexible, dripping in hot butter and eased into the mouth. Asparagus is a renowned aphrodisiac.
Is it meant to be phallic as well?
More by way of innuendo, I think, than clinical evidence. There's no actual...
What about the smelly wee after? That's not
That's not good. Well, by that point, you've left...
Do you know with asparagus, can you eat the whole stalk? I am eating it.
Yes.
Yeah. So what we're having with this is called triple carmelite.
Where's the sodding beer then?
Oh, yeah, get the glasses out. I'm dealing with the asparagus and the butter.
Oh, this whole room smells of butter.
I mean, it really has been splattered everywhere.
Yeah, good. Well, that's all right, actually. Oh, no, wrong beer. Sorry. Sorry, hang on. There you go.
Okay.
I'm going to have some
Did I tell you, I went to Bruges a couple of weeks ago.
Well, good.
No, you didn't. I was in Northampton. Great days.
All right.
Any other travel stories?
Can you pass another glass?
No, Bruges is a big beer city.
Right,
okay.
So what we're trying with this asparagus is a triple carmelite. Now, triple is a Belgian style beer. I'll give you a fresh glass.
Oh, yum. What's the alcohol?
The alcohol is quite strong. That's basically the main aphrodisiacal
element
of this. It's made with three different grains.
What is the alcohol?
8.5%.
It's delicious. It goes well with the asparagus.
So nice. Yeah. That is so nice. That's a clean beer to go with a clean, fresh food.
It's got that kind of grainy sweetness.
Listeners, we have these asparagus in here in a Tupperware pot. No. And Ben has put the butter in the Tupperware and it's been melted and it looks like soup. And Ben is dipping the asparagus into butter soup.
I want to jump all your bones.
So, listeners, for previous podcast hearers, Ben went for his age 40 checkup and was told his cholesterol was a little high.
Yeah.
Might be because you're drinking butter.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah.
You're just drinking it, man.
You know, they also
That's
said,
so wrong.
Like, yum.
They said nice I was though. A hypochondriac as well. I was like, I've not got that at two.
Ben, that is a really delicious match.
It's a good pairing, isn't it?
That's nice.
Ed was to serve that up, would you be all over him like a flannel?
Yeah.
If you had five of them. Yeah. What's the story of the triple? What's the
triple is Triple Carlin. It's brewed by the Bostils Brewery.
And they're Trappist or Abbey...
No, they're an Abbey. It's an Abbey style beer. It's a triple
Carmelite.
There's no monks involved.
There are no monks involved.
No monks involved, but it's a really good beer.
Which is when it's a Trappist, right?
Yeah, exactly. Good one. Good one. What so it's made with wheat, oats, and barley. Oats give it a bit more mouthfeel.
Which goes well with the butter, I suspect. Okay.
And it's quite carbonated, isn't it? So the yeast is obviously doing two things there.
It's bottle conditioning, improving
Can
the beer.
Can I say, that's exactly the kind of beer I like.
Mm.
Lovely.
It's wonderful.
For listeners,
really nice.
A mainstream alternative.
The famous one would be Westmalle Triple, because Westmalle Triple is the
what about
kind
Lefe?
Of poster boy of the style, which because it's got
Lefe?
A, you could,
not far off.
You could go for Lefe Blonde. That's probably not connoisseurs would be like
A
bit too mainstream, but it's still a very good beer.
That's delicious.
But no, that's what I was saying. What's a mainstream a style of beer that they might have tried that? That's why I said Hoegaarden, not because it's the same beer. Just
no, I'd say Lefe Blonde.
Lefe Blonde.
Okay. Or, I mean, yeah, the Westmalle Triple, if you can get hold of that, which is, you can get it online massively easily.
I've been to Westmalle. It's, they're silent.
They are.
Are they? Are they Trappists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just because they're monks, brewed by monks, you don't have to behave like one. So once you've had this with a bit of
asparagus,
you can
go for your life.
Get jiggy.
What I want to try is the second one, which has the most appealing name. And label.
Yeah,
we're going to tread carefully around this one.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, what would you say the most aphrodisiacal...
Oysters.
There we go.
And if they don't make you spew.
Now, did you know that Casanova ate 50 oysters a day? And obviously he got loads of action.
Do we know why?
Because he was just...
Cool. A ladies' man.
No, Casanova ate 50 oysters a day, and I don't know why he was considered such a ladies' man, but he's probably good-looking.
Rich, powerful.
Huge
cock.
Massive cock. Those are the various factors, I imagine.
Or a very good
I don't
liar.
Imagine...
Tick, tick, tick.
I don't imagine liar. It's because he had an in-depth knowledge of brewing in the beer scene. But oysters are rich in zinc. They boost testosterone. Mm-hmm. They improve the potency of one's gentleman's relish. Did you know that?
No.
And they raise male sexual desire by the fact that they resemble a female front bottom.
Yeah. So basically, he was like a dog on heat all the time because he ate these oysters.
Yeah. Mm. He was just well prepared. Eat this, you'll eat anything.
And apparently, within women, the element of danger associated with oyster consumption, which is, you know, because you can't if you get a bad one, apparently that heightens arousal as well.
No, I would disagree with that entirely.
I just think that's nonsense.
The
fact that it's quite dangerous means that, like, ooh.
No, it means I don't want to eat it because I don't want to spend the rest of the day with my head down the bowl.
Yeah, but the fact that there's a sort of risk.
No.
It means
I now don't eat oysters.
It's a bit like having an affair. It's like, ooh, the risk here.
What? It's in no way like having an affair.
Well,
eating an oyster.
Some people get off on danger because if you're having an affair,
sex time is quite exciting, I imagine. Mm. Not that I've had one, Sophie.
Yet.
But up your game. But then take the danger away and you're just shagging in a travel lodge, aren't you? It's not that good.
Yeah,
but it's still better than the effect of eating an oyster, which is actually quite
but I know what Ben's saying. If you're a Russian roulette kind of person, those things might appeal to you in a wider
let's
try this Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, which is what it's called, a Dirty Sanchez, now, listeners. It's, I was with you when you picked it up and you didn't even seem to make the association.
Okay, this is a Fierce Brewery based in Aberdeen. Two former oil workers set up the brewery a couple of years ago. They've sort of done a similar thing to BrewDog in their sort of big flavours, bold flavours, a little bit anarchic, in-your-face kind of stuff. And they've done a chipotle porter, is that what you say? Chipotle?
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 I don't know, chipotle. The spicy thing.
Yeah, the spicy pepper. Mexican. They've done a chipotle porter because oysters and porter, historically, are a traditional combination. Mm. It's would have been drunk in pubs in London.
In the
18th century.
I think it might have been even 17th into 18th.
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
into 19th. We're still drinking them now. So, yeah.
another geek off.
Yeah.
That was a vague off.
Yeah, that was back then.
Let's try some.
I could have gone for a normal porter, but I've gone for a spicy porter because, chocolate, obviously, is
the food
chocolate
of love.
Taste. Did you know that Aztecs claimed chocolate was an aphrodisiac and Montezuma, an Aztec king, insisted on 50 cups of chocolate to satisfy his harem?
Wow.
Nice. Can I just say, this beer, would that be amazing, like with Mexican tacos or something?
Yeah, like mole sauce.
Yeah.
It's really smoky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right,
it's really smoky.
The porter is, the spice is also good for hanky-panky because it spices things up.
The
green chilli raises body temperature. Mm. It swells one's lips into a tempting pout. And when you have something spicy, it releases endorphins. So spice is also good. So this has got the chocolate
spice is good for
the Aztecs.
Time.
It's got the spice that pouts the lips and gets the blood flowing. And also you're having it with oysters that look like vaginas. So, I mean, the whole thing comes together.
It's a sex fest.
So it's oysters and porter.
Asparagus or beer.
I like it.
I like it.
Shuck it and see.
Nice.
No, it's good. I like that. I think it's quite distinctive. You've got that kind of slightly pepperiness, but it's really good. Ben, I think they're really good beers.
And just while you're there, the other good thing is hoppy beers are supposed to be a bit aphrodisiacal.
Qualities as well.
Is that actually the word? You've said that three times.
I don't know.
It works.
We had a beer the other day called Proper Job. And that's a good hoppy bit, and it's got the word job in, which subliminally will send a message to the ladies.
Two girls, one. Big job.
Yeah.
Love it. Thanks, Ben. Really enjoyed those beers, and often I'm not the most receptive to some
You're
beers.
You're not. You're really pissing on chips week after week.
They get the thumbs up from me, especially the first one.
Yeah. Just keep drinking that butter, Ben.
So, Tom, no pressure.
No. Well, I'm going to carry on the theme with my legend, so. And I tell you what, listeners, it's going to be rapid fire today because I need a wee wee. But I am going to keep this
You're
going with the
jiggling around
Valentine's. It's energy, keep me going, guys. I'm going to talk about Bacchus. I'm going to tread on your toes a bit today, Sam, with a wine legend. Well, the problem was, I was going to talk about a spirits legend, but the PR company, who I won't name and shame, told us they had
Fat. Absolutely rubbish.
Ben will. They had a spruce spirit that was perfect. It was the Norse goddess of
Freya,
love,
wasn't it?
And it was going to be perfect. But they said, we can send you bottles 2 weeks ago, and they didn't send us a bottle. You can't buy it anywhere. So there you go. I've gone with
it's
the
made
wine.
From asbestos and orphans.
It's unfair to level the blame at the actual product. Anyway, I've gone with a wine, so sorry, this is a one-off, I won't do it again. But I've gone with Bacchus, the Roman god of wine and fertility, so there was just too much beautiful synergy here to avoid it. The Romans actually copied this god from the Greek god Dionysus, who Ben and I have talked about as a gender-fluid goddess, and sometimes with a willy, sometimes without a willy in Greek art. The Romans went over there, conquered the Greeks, and they stole this god, so it's a sort of second-hand god. But Bacchus was not only the god of wine and fertility, the Romans took him to the next level, good cheer, hilarity, mirth, and revels, not the chocolates. So there's a lot more juice on this guy, so I thought, well, let's go with him. If you don't know what he looks like, if you've not heard of this person before, then he was mostly represented as a curly-haired child, drinking wine, sometimes as a young man, so not always as a kid, naked, apart from a crown of vine leaves and grapes, or sometimes heavily drunk, sometimes being put to bed by nymphs, who are quite randy girls. Never pictured doing a wee in his cupboard, thinking it was a toilet, but he was on it. This guy was on it. So hold tight, ladies and gentlemen, because this guy was a big, big drinker. And he carried a thyrsus, which is a phallic symbol of pleasure and fertility, made from a staff of a giant fennel covered in leaves and vines topped with a pine cone. So think about that next time you're having a fennel. And it was representative of his rod, I guess.
It's where Bacchanalia comes from.
It is, and I'm going to get to that, because that is... Well, that's probably should put it at the top of the story as a journalist. That's how we know him. The wider context from Wikipedia, though, was that Bacchus was the child of Jupiter and Semele, who was a human.
Semele.
That reminds me of a quick joke. Why do wine waiters need more deodorant than normal waiters?
So it was basically a god getting off with a human, and they had a kid, which is nice. But Juno, she was a goddess, and she was pretty cheesed off. She liked Jupiter, so she tricked Semele into asking Juniper to see who he really was, and she was immortal, so the sight of Jupiter in his divine form made her burn up and combust, basically, which is pretty nasty. And Jupiter, he revived the child, and then get this, folks, he sewed it onto his thigh.
What, a baby?
Yeah, a reborn baby onto his thigh.
We've all done it after a big
one. Yeah, well, actually more of a fetus. It stayed with him for 9 months and then he gave birth to it. So that's pretty weird. And Bacchus was there and he was worshipped by the Romans at all these events, gladiatorial games where blood sacrifices were made to the gods, and he was a part of the pantheon of 12 major gods. Who's the youngest there? He was on the board of the gods, so he's a bit of a big deal. And yes, Bacchanalia. Let's get into that. Interestingly, your name Bacchus means berry. And he did use his berries to great effect. He was all over the ladies. The ladies loved this guy. They totally worshipped him. But he was pretty liberal with his loving. He had a ton of female followers, but also...
Weren't they called Aeneads or something?
Yeah,
like that?
There were lots of different names. Nymphs, mostly nymphomaniacs.
They were nutters, though.
They were really properly all over him. But also men and goat man satyrs. So
the old goat men.
Yeah,
so he's bonking women, men, and half men.
Oh, he didn't give a shit.
All the lot.
Orgy-tastic.
The lot. Actually, there isn't much information about these sex parties. There's some drawings, which are less useful over the airwaves, but apparently it was hardcore stuff, willies, lady parts, all over the place, and it was pretty full-on sex party.
But they used to... They used to go and sort of honour Bacchus. Basically, instead of going, well, I'm going to the pub, I'm going to get hammered... for no apparent reason, they go, I am going to drink to the gods.
Yes, it was a religious festival. Mm. There was actually a religion, I mean, later deemed a cult, but actually a religious festival, which, interesting, ran between the 15th and 16th of March, which is coming up, folks. So if you do want a reason to drink on those days...
So basically, the Romans would have a Bacchanalian orgy because they felt they had to honour the god Bacchus.
Yes, but it was also seen as a way of... Yes, they were speaking to the gods, but also... Yes, it's just a spiritual... Yeah, exactly. And you would have revelations when you have a drink, like, you know, I'll climb up that scaffolding.
Cutting.
Things like that.
Cutting loose is No, it wasn't just cutting loose. It was in-your-face sex stuff. Chariot keys in the fruit bowl and all sorts.
Bacchus and Dionysus, I think they're the same.
That's what
god.
I said at the beginning, they robbed the god, essentially. They repositioned
the Romans.
The Greeks were first, and then the Romans went and did the Greek weeks over and took all the good stuff. But they just built on it. And a Bacchanalia, it was a big festival. The Romans did get a bit tired of this behaviour. They argued that actually what was happening was sort of secret rites, and actually a lot of political shenanigans were going on in these Bacchanalia parties. Mm. So they actually banned them. In 186 BC, the Roman Senate issued a decree to actually ban them, which is why Bacchanalia today is sort of attached to a good time rather than an outrageous sex party. Yeah. So it's sort of relatively
bit more mild,
benign sort of experience now.
Well, I'd say if someone said last night
I had a bacchanalia,
true, just uncut bacchanalia, I imagine they got laid.
Maybe more than with multiple partners.
Yeah, maybe. It's important to say he was the god of wine as well. Mm. And he grew up, when you might know more about this, Sam, he was tutored by Solinus. No, you don't. You didn't do your classics. None of us did.
I did.
Did you?
Metella est in Colina.
Well, okay, but what about Solinus? How do
Metella
you pronounce it?
Metella is in the kitchen.
Yeah. Horatio. No, hang on. Is an in Artrium.
In the hall.
I
think we might have to call this to a close, because Tom is making me feel uncomfortable the constant rocking, like my 6-year-old does.
He did.
Which I hold in.
He did do stuff for wine, which is why he's our legend. In fact, the reason we cut back the vines to help them grow again, to be reborn, they put down to the worship of Bacchus. So it's quite an important method in wine growing.
Crucial.
And that's it. I mean, they worshipped him. They worshipped his wine making. And the story of Bacchus goes that when he went up to Olympus, he taught a lot of people how to grow vines. He wasn't real, so I can't really give too much credit for that. But he was a big wine man.
What I think Bacchus has given us as a society is it's all right to have a few drinks and then just cut loose,
just let
and
loose.
Muck about.
Mm.
And
I think wanting to get off your face is a really human thing.
Yeah.
I think it's quite important to just
now and again.
Just slightly let your hair down now and again.
As a footnote, though, Bacchus was the god of theatre as well, Ben, which brings me seamlessly onto our shows, which
are going
to be
performing
throughout the months of March and April. Yeah. 17th of March at the Chipping Norton Theatre and the Underbelly in London.
Tickets for our Edinburgh show are on sale.
Ooh,
boom!
That's
never happened before. We've never been on sale this early, so get involved.
Get involved,
right,
buy
now.
Them. They're really good.
That didn't sound convincing.
They are. I've seen you twice. Which brings us to the end of this slightly haphazard Valentine's podcast.
Full of love.
Yeah, love
full of
each
love,
other, people.
Full of love for you,
you
us,
are both
each
get
other.
It. I've eaten so much asparagus, I can't contain myself.
Well, you don't have to go to the toilet with Tom.
I need a wee. I'm a wean.
It's going to smell because we've had so much asparagus.
Right. So, over and out. Thanks for listening, and
see you next week.
Bye. Cheers.
This was a Grand Cru podcast from 7 Digital.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.